My name is Indira and I see the world through educational lenses because it allows me questioning, debating, making research, but above all things, it allows me enjoying the world. I am focused on bilingual education. However, we could talk about cultures, professional and academic experiences, and even about traveling. Welcome to La Bitácora Bilingüe. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for being listening to my podcast, Bitácora Bilingüe. Today, we are recording our 8th episode. And the topic that we are going to be talking today is really important because I know that most of you are bilingual teachers and you notice the importance that you could have with the support of a bilingual coach. Today I have a special guest. She was and she is my bilingual coach here in the district where I work. So I would like that you could please introduce yourself, please. Who is Mrs. Donna Podgorny?
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Indira, for this opportunity to talk about bilingual coaches, because I think they are an important role in our educational system, and it's a new role. So anyway, as you said, my name is Donna Podgorny, and I'll tell you a little bit about my background if you're interested, but you had asked me, who is Donna Podgorny? So if I had to describe myself, I'd say she's curious, that she enjoys people, she likes challenges, and she likes trying to organize things. So I put those skills and personal interests together into my job.
Okay, and what about your professional background?
Well, I am currently a dual language immersion instructional coach. That's the job title in the district where I work. But it's interesting that professionally, I'm kind of coming full circle because when I first graduated from college, I was a bilingual teacher in California. Okay. And so I've had a few different paths as I've had a chance to live in different cities and countries. And so I graduated in that first group in California that was getting a license, a teaching license that focused on bilingual education. And after that, I had the opportunity to teach as a bilingual teacher, both in California and Arizona. And then I had the opportunity while I got my master's in linguistics to be a Spanish professor there in the university for classes for the university students. And then I was very fortunate to live overseas in Santiago, Chile, where I now was the English bilingual teacher in a K-12 bilingual school. And so that was really great for me to now teach in my native language and see how kids in a private school were learning. That was really fascinating. After some years overseas, I returned to the U.S., and then I didn't see any immersion teaching, any dual language programs, bilingual programs in the areas where I was living in upstate New York. And so I taught middle school, high school Spanish, and then later on I passed on to junior college Spanish teaching. So coming to North Carolina, there was an opportunity to work in Union County Public Schools, and I ended up being the world language curriculum coordinator from kindergarten through 12th grade. And then as the immersion program has grown in Union County, an opening came up 3 years ago, immersion coach. And I said, that sounds exactly like something I'd love to do. And so I applied and was given the position, and it's just an awesome field to work in. It's very new. There's so much happening. There's so much that can be done. For me, it's a constant puzzle, a constant sense of accomplishment. There's new people to meet. It's a chance to speak a lot of Spanish and try to work on my Chinese. And so I just find it very, very gratifying to work in this program, looking at the students and the teachers and how this is so incredible, so fantastic, a wonderful thing for the U.S. And dual language immersion has the far greater capability for developing bilingual speakers and literate persons in the United States than just a middle school or high school language course can provide. So that's very gratifying.
Yeah, well, I had the honor to work with Mrs. Podgorny, and as you could notice, she has a huge expertise about bilingualism. What I really love is that you have the opportunity to travel, to teach in the same way that we are doing as bilingual teachers. So you understand all of the challenges and all of the big procedures and steps that we need to follow for having a really established, well-established program. I know that Union County has a huge program here, with not just with Spanish but with Mandarin too. And something that really caught my attention is that when you started your own description, you said that you are a really curious person, and I consider that that's the main characteristic that you need to have as a bilingual coach, because that is what you can give to the teachers, that we continue being really, really curious. I cannot pronounce that word, curioso. So thank you for your job. Well, now I would like to clarify maybe the idea that some teachers have or don't have about bilingual coach. What is a bilingual coach? What is the main goal that you have?
Well, in our school district, we have a number of positions that are called instructional coaches, okay? And so my position is just a little bit different because I specifically work with the dual language immersion program. And in this case, I'm using the word dual language immersion to distinguish it from just being a coach who happens to be bilingual. Okay. So I am not based in one school. I work with a number of different schools. I travel in my car to visit those schools and classrooms and students. And so my job is to support the dual language immersion program. And our program is growing. We are currently up through, we've just finished seventh grade. So next year we will have our first students that are reaching eighth grade. And so we're pretty excited about that. In supporting our program, there's quite a number of facets that I think are important. Mm-hmm. There's the human piece of just supporting an individual teacher, and we try to do individual coaching, especially with new teachers. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the need to adapt to a new environment, living in another country, understanding their economics and how to just get your food and get to work is one thing, but learning how to teach in another system is a pretty big deal. Yes. Because education is very cultural. And so a lot of my job is just coaching individual teachers, especially the new ones. And then I try to do a lot of professional development, which I think is specific to learning what is teaching in our district with the types of expectations we have in our county, in our state, and in our nation at this point in time, because education keeps evolving. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have specific things to bilingual, being bilingual, raising students that are bilingual, biliterate, that require professional development also. So I consider that a big portion of my job as a coach is to work with professional development. We are not 100% identical to the English program, and so we have a lot of curriculum development that we work on. We want to, like any program, assess the results of our program. And so we do assessments, and mm-hmm. I try to work with data analysis on that. There are never enough resources in the bilingual world. So I try to work with people that either helping create, assisting them is a part of my job. The best part of my job is visiting the classrooms, because that's when I am able to see things in action. And because I love languages, watching these kids use language is so powerful. It's so exciting. And if you've ever taught language formally, you're saying things like, oh my gosh, that was past subjunctive. Oh, that was an irregular verb tense. Yes. Okay. And if you're looking to see what does the teacher do to make sure that it's a language learning opportunity, you're watching the teacher and paying attention to their language. So I just love visiting classrooms. That's where I learn a lot. I'm analyzing all the time. I'm looking at the walls to see what type of resources the teachers have created that are references for the teachers. And so visiting the classrooms is super important. Mm-hmm. And then giving feedback to the teachers where possible. So I think that it's very important for a district that has a dual language immersion program to have a coach that can specialize in that field. being an immersion teacher, whether it's Mandarin or Chinese, it's not just, oh, go and do what they do in English. It's not the same. And so the supports have to be different. I think it's very important to understand as much of the language as you can. I have some familiarity with Chinese, which helped me through a lot of issues in some of our curriculum writing, but no fluency. And then my fluency in Spanish, I think, is really helpful for understanding when the children are speaking, what's the language that the children are speaking? What's the language that the teachers are speaking? I can see things as an English-only person and understand that a lot of good things are happening in instruction, but I think it really helps that an immersion coach, a dual language immersion coach, is fluent or knows somebody who is fluent that can help them with observations in that foreign language. And so I try to help visit classrooms, as I mentioned, give feedback, help put teachers in contact with each other so that they can have teams of people. Typically our teachers at our school district are like one first grade teacher at their school for immersion, one second grade teacher. So often they don't have a group to collaborate with. So I think part of my job is trying to put those people in contact with each other and then to build leadership skills. When I see somebody who's really talented and I just realize, oh my gosh, people could go and observe this teacher, people could meet with this teacher could provide professional development. It is so meaningful to have somebody in the classroom giving that professional development. So I try to help with collaboration. Mm-hmm. I do also work with the English partner schools or the English support, the English partner teachers or the English support teachers in some of our programs because they're not a traditional teacher themselves. We're hoping that they're collaborating with the Mandarin or the Spanish teachers. They're sharing time. So what are they doing to collaborate on the goals? So that's really important to me. And then I also get to work with principals. I think it's important that a coach have a good relationship with the principals. The principals will contact us sometimes with questions. We are able to be specialists in the field of dual language immersion. And so I think we can be a support to the principals. So Lots of things
about the job. You are a multitask professional. You are involved with the dual language teachers. You are involved with the English partners. You are involved with principals. And I suppose that there are different challenges that you could evidence every day that you visit the classrooms, or maybe in the development of a specific procedure that you consider that a teacher needs to improve. So could you please explain a little bit more about those kind of challenges that you have in your job, please?
Sure. I think that there are definitely challenges and that's what makes the job fun. But I think the two biggest challenges for me are I mentioned I do a lot of professional development, and I just think that's because when you come from another country, although you may be highly qualified, highly experienced, teaching in a new school district with different goals is different. Mm-hmm. And so I think that training new teachers is a challenge because it shouldn't be ignored. Mm-hmm. Leaving them on their own to figure out a lot of things, I think, is hard. I think their learning curve is going to be much better if you're there to support them. The teachers that come to our district are strong, partly because they're adaptable and they're flexible. So they're interested in learning how to adapt as soon as they can. And so that combination between having a coach and them being willing to learn, I think, is a good way to powerfully improve them and help them adjust to teaching in our local schools. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have the challenge that because where I am an instructional coach, a dual language immersion instructional coach, we're not a large metropolitan area. We don't have a lot of college graduates with teacher's license in Spanish or in Mandarin. We don't have people that can come in today with 20 years of teaching experience. And so we're hiring foreign teachers mostly. Mm-hmm. And so most of them are coming on a visa. And so they're coming for a short term, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so the first year is the biggest, most intensive year for helping to train teachers. But the challenge is that once you've trained them, it doesn't mean that now you've solved all your problems and life is wonderful and you don't have anything to do anymore. Every year there's new teachers. So mm-hmm. you're trying to improve your program, improve your resources, and then there's new teachers that need new training every year. So that's interesting.
And Mrs. Podgorny was saying, you know that I am a dual language teacher and I did all of that journey. I start applying for coming here and then I arrive and I try to adapt to this context in the fastest way that I could do it. However, something that I would like to express or to let them know is that even though you can have like 10 or 20 years of experience in your country, when you come here, you need to continue having that expertise, but at the same time, you need to be open to learn new things, because sometimes I've noticed that that's like a big challenge that we have as teachers, that we believe that once we know something, we are not going to change the way that we do it. And that's why we have a coach who could guide us, who could help us, telling us how is the best way to do it. It's not avoid our style or what we know, but it's just modify some aspects for being better. So I don't know if you would like to add something else about it, Ms. Podgorny.
Well, no, I think what you say is 100% true. There's just, when I watch the teachers' eyes the first day they're here and they're listening to things, well, let us tell you about our reading program. Of course, everybody's English is great. They understand that. And very quickly, they're hearing things like, well, in the literacy framework we have guided reading. And of course, we have small group instruction because we want to make sure we have differentiation for the different levels of reading. And based upon the Fontes and Fanil level, and it's like, whoa, what was all that? Guided reading, what's guided reading versus word study versus shared reading versus shared writing versus intervention? I mean, all these things that we talk about within our 2020 framework are wild. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a lot to learn. And when I hear teachers a year later managing all that vocabulary because they understand the reality of teaching in this country, in this day and time, with the resources we have and the technology that's expected, you know that they've learned a lot. And their heads yes. must be just bursting open with how much they've learned in 1 year. And hopefully, I always hope that the time that a foreign teacher stays in our country is valuable, that they see it as professional development for them. They're not just bodies that fill our classrooms that help us. I hope that they're feeling fulfilled and learning also. You asked me about challenges though, and so I do think that the other challenge is resources. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine that there are a lot more resources in Spanish than there are in Mandarin. And Spanish teachers will still say, well, do you have that in Spanish? Whenever they hear about products, oh, does that come in Spanish? And so the market is very wide in terms of products that anybody can buy for education, but finding resources that are in Spanish or in Mandarin is the first challenge. Mm-hmm. The wonderful thing is that they're growing, they're improving all the time. The hard thing is that they may be resources in Spanish or Mandarin, but they're really not appropriate for what we have to teach in our content, for the level of reading or comprehension. The list goes on in terms of, oh, I found something. Well, you can't just buy something because you found it. It has to even then be appropriate for your program. So yes. The great thing is the resources are growing tremendously. The online platforms, online books, online assessments are helping things spread around the world. We can buy products from China, from England, from various other places, and we can find websites from Chile and Mexico and other places that help us. So all of this is very valuable, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to find things and you feel like you've discovered gold. So finding resources, training teachers, I think are the two biggest things that I think are important.
Related to the second challenge that you were talking about, I consider that that's where teachers, we need to start working as a team. Because if we notice that there is a lack of resources, it doesn't matter the reason why, but we notice that there is a lack of resources. So we need to start working as a team and support each other. Because, for example, if I could translate something or if I buy something and I could share with another person because I know that it's going to be good for the students that teacher has, so why not? Maybe there is a big difficulty that I could notice since the first day that I am here. I have noticed that in our countries, it is not really common that we work as a team. So when you arrive here and you start feeling that you need to support another person or that you need to be supported, sometimes it's difficult to accept it. But once you start, you know that it's really worth it for you and for the ones who are around you. So maybe it could help for giving a solution to that second challenge that you were talking about.
Well, and I think that mental shift that you mentioned is really important. People used to sort of feel, I have to know all the answers for my instruction. That's my job as a teacher, to know everything. And I think with the internet, we've realized that we're never going to know everything, that curriculum's constantly changing, and that I think that collaboration's really powerful. And we've seen it now during COVID with school closures. Mm-hmm. The amount of companies and people that have shared resources and webinars has been incredible. Mm-hmm. I think there's been a lot of professional growth. And so we all get better by collaborating. And we can't do it alone. None of us can. So yeah, thank you for trying to remind all of us that the more we collaborate, the better we are.
Yes. And now that you were talking about all of that growing in the with the technology, with all of the tools that we have, I would like to ask you something that is related to what we are talking, but at the same time is not. And is why do you consider that there is a high demand of the dual language programs in the United States?
Well, I think it's great that you noticed that, because I don't think this would have been true 30 years ago, that there would have been so many dual language programs. And I think there's three reasons. I think that many people now are able to travel, or they're aware of other countries, or they understand that we're buying products from other countries, or living in the United States, they've seen that there are a lot of people in our countries, and they're more curious, and they want their children to be empowered for the future. And so I'm thinking of the parents who have English-speaking children at home. And they might not be English-speaking, maybe they speak an Indian language at home, but they realize or any language at home that's not English, but they realize that there's a power in knowing another language, and they want their child to have that benefit. So I think you have the people that are sending their children to school because they want them to learn that other language at school, not just English, but maybe Spanish, maybe Mandarin. And they see that both of those two languages worldwide are extremely important, and kind of for different reasons, but they see that it's a huge benefit. So they know that their child is going to learn that other language. And then I think there are parents who are bilingual already, be it in Mandarin or in Spanish, and they don't want that child to learn that lose that language. And they also understand that if what we speak at home, whether it's Spanish or Mandarin, because those are the only two programs we have in our district for languages, they could lose that language if it's not supported. And if they're not literate, it's not going to take them as far.
Yeah.
And so I think you have parents that have bilingual children that want to raise them bilingual, and they value the kids being bilingual. And they could be families that have been in this country generations, or they could be new arrivals, but for whatever reason, they speak a home language that they'd like to maintain and improve. And then I think there's a third reason that there's a lot of dual language immersion programs in the US. And I think that's related to immigrants coming to the country that might be Spanish speaking, or they might be Mandarin speaking. And in that case, those children might be English learners. Mm-hmm. And so we have thought in the past that the best thing to do is to get them into English, shove them into English, give them as much English as they can, and they're just going to do so much better. But we've learned that children will excel better if they can maintain their home language and use it as a foundation for learning the new language. And so instead of cutting off those 5 years that a child has learning a language, if we can help them by having maybe a 50-50, a two-way program, or some type of program where we can help their language learning that they have at home, maintain that, and then add the English because they're English learners, I think that's the third reason that we have immersion programs growing, because immigration continues in the United States. And so I think it makes it pretty powerful for different reasons. And then the outcomes are tremendous. We have research now to prove that.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to add to your answer is that maybe some parents or some people have the idea that the dual language programs is just about the new language that the student is learning. But it's super important to highlight that we need to think about the culture that is involved through that language. It doesn't matter if it is Spanish or French or Mandarin or the language that the student is learning. It's about the culture, the countries where that language is spoken. So it's like a key that parents need to have in mind if they want to enroll the kids in these kind of programs.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's not just about learning the language. There is a belief that if I have a teacher who speaks another language, that teacher knows about that culture that goes with that language. Whether the teacher is a native speaker of that language and from another country, or whether that teacher has learned that second language, that that teacher appreciates other cultures and knows about them, and thus that's going to help my child learn more about the world. Mm-hmm. Because I can only give my child what I'm able to provide at home, whatever my home language, my home culture, my home religion, my home economic situation. I only have my circle that I can impact my child with directly. And then I try to perhaps take my child into the larger society. Maybe I have money and I'm able to travel and have my child see other countries. But there's a very strong belief that within an immersion program, children understand that there's different ways to live and there's different ways to react, and that they're valuable. And so hopefully a child becomes bicultural in the sense that the child is comfortable interacting with somebody different than themselves, whether it's how they greet people, how much they talk, how much they don't talk, things they eat, all the things that go with culture mm-hmm. are so powerful. And there's a huge hope among many people that have their children in bilingual programs that their children respect diversity, that their children respect people that are different than themselves. And I think that's a valuable skill set for life.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Podgorny, I really appreciate every answer that you have shared with all of us. I noticed all of that knowledge that you have about bilingualism. And just to finalize our podcast, I would like to know do you like to suggest something to the DLI teachers who are listening to this episode?
For DLI teachers, I would like for them to feel very proud of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I hope that they value the importance of a dual language program in terms of what their contribution is to the success of the program, and that they are creating citizens that are more empowered mm-hmm. to be culturally appropriate and to be linguistically talented. So I hope that they value their own input and they take it very seriously and do the best job that they can, and that they're proud of their accomplishments. And kind of something we already talked about, I hope that they will always have the attitude that they want to, that they seek out continual improvement, because I think that's just very good for humans to constantly try to improve themselves, but it's certainly good for our students. It's certainly good for our immersion program in the district I work in, and then just the profession in general. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned that people need to share resources and have that attitude of sharing, but I hope people will always be proud and remember to share their culture. Yay. Because we're about language and we're about learning math and Spanish and learning science and Mandarin and things like that. I hope people don't forget that there is cultural knowledge that we need to fill in the gaps and make sure that it's rich and it's appreciated, so that our children don't graduate just biliterate and not bicultural or not mm-hmm. aware of other cultures. So I hope people continue to share their culture and their worldview to make the students be curious about this new culture. So that's a lot to include in lessons and all that dual language is, but I think that's why it's so powerful and so rich. So thanks for taking the time to support dual language instruction, interest in this field, and the fact that it is growing, and how are we all going to grow together. So thanks very much for your interest in this area.
Well, now that we talk about the DLI teachers, I know that there is an English partner. So mm-hmm. maybe would you like to tell them something about what they are doing, or even to the administrators, because sometimes they need to know what the opinions that you could have as an instructor for them. Would you like to share something with them?
Thank you very much. It's important to remember that no immersion program is ever going to be successful if the teachers are the foreign teachers are the only ones trying to make it work, mm-hmm. because it does require a lot of parent support. It requires principals who believe in the program and are willing to make it be successful. And we don't want children to just graduate fluent in Spanish or proficient in Mandarin. They obviously have to be very proficient and fluent in English. They need to be literate and very academically strong. And so we never want to focus on just the language or just the culture. So there's a delicate balance between how the English partner teacher works with the dual language of Mandarin teacher, the dual language Spanish teacher, but it's so important that they collaborate. We are supporting the standards of our state's educational system, and those are based on Common Core standards. They're similar to Common Core standards across the United States of what is believed to be a necessary education for this generation. And so that collaboration to raise fluent, educated English speakers, readers, writers, thinkers is also very, very important. So we never want to forget the support that we need from English teachers, and it's very, very, very appreciated when the English partner teacher believes in the importance of knowing two languages, who respects the teacher from another culture, who takes time to get to know that other teacher, understands that they may not understand all the words or some of the educational jargon, and principals that believe that this is a valuable program, that see how it's impacting test scores. Principals usually get a big buy-in on that. They go, wow, these dual language immersion kids have some pretty incredible test scores. And so that's an obvious plus for any school. One of the benefits of dual language immersion that we haven't mentioned at all is the ability for an immersion program to provide a strong academic program that challenges the student educationally and perhaps can actually give them cognitive benefits that just put them on top of their game. The guarantees of a dual language program are never that you make geniuses out of everybody, but that you graduate either at par with your peers or above grade level. And there's a lot of data about how children come out above grade level. So no matter what school that is, that can be helpful for society, but it's also helpful if you're in a school where there's a academic gap, that the school might typically have students that are scoring below grade level. If the dual language immersion program can help support those children and close the academic gap, that's extremely valuable. And that probably should have been that's one of the reasons that administrators will many times support a dual language program, because they know that that mental gymnastics that the child is doing is just really great for their thinking and their critical thinking, their memorization, a lot of cognitive skills. And so that should never be overlooked. And so I would hope that an administrator would follow their own data, look at what's happening in their dual language programs, figure out what needs to be incorporated to make the language allocation, the resources, the professional development, all the pieces that are needed to support the program so it can positively impact those students and their school.
Okay, Ms. Bulgarni, I'm really, really happy because everything that you have shared with us during this episode, I know that is super, super important, not just for teachers, but for all the audience who is listening to this podcast. I know that they are going to learn a lot about your experience, about all the ideas that you have shared with us, not just for the dual language teachers, but for all the elements that are part of this program. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you for all of the answers that you have shared. And I hope that everybody could listen to this episode and could share with all of the teachers who are around them. So thank you so much and have a really good afternoon.
Thank you for this opportunity. I hope that something I've said will spark interest in others exploring more. Best wishes to you in this podcast. It's a great idea.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, bye.